Yeah, I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
And we're the most average people of all time, looking to level up to the people who inspire us. The purpose of this podcast is to expose our insecurities, document getting over them, and give you a game plan to do the same.
Welcome to Grow Spurt.
All right, episode 3. Jesse Itzler Instagram posts. We're getting pretty consistent with the Instagram posts. You want to describe how you found it?
Yeah, so
what it's about.
So Jesse posted a contest. The contest was simple. You just had to like his photo, tag two friends, and make sure they were following him. The contest winner would get a trip to his house, where he'd stay at his house on Friday night, and then run a race in his backyard on the 26th, which was the Saturday night. That race is 8 miles. It's 100 times up and down the hill in his backyard, which works out to be about 8 miles. And the average time it takes to complete it is 3.5 hours. It's something like 50% of the people end up passing this test, this challenge.
And for the million followers listening right now, who is Jesse Itzler? Like, what do you know about him? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so Jesse Itzler is a billionaire. He's a part owner of the Hawks. He got his career started he was actually a rapper straight out of college. If you've been ever to a Knicks game and you know the song Go New York, Go New York, Go, he's the one who produced, wrote, sang that song. He also wrote a bunch of songs for other teams in the NBA. He wrote the theme song for NBA TV, which he won an Emmy for. So his first career was as a rapper. He transitioned from a rapper into... he started Marquee Jet, which was a private jet company, which he sold to Warren Buffett. He transitioned out of the jet business into the coconut water business, starting Zico Coconut Water, which he sold to Coca-Cola. And more recently, he's a writer, New York Times bestselling author. He's married to Sarah Blakely, who's the CEO of Spanx, part owner of the Atlanta Hawks. Did I say that already?
Yeah, you said that in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of things going on. He's a very talented entrepreneur who's been around a while, and he's succeeded in a lot of different fields.
So he made this post, Monday night, and you probably commented on it and tagging me like maybe two hours after the post. And then the following morning, you kind of told me about it. But I would say overall energy and interest, it almost seemed in the moment kind of like a passing comment, like, oh, you know, Jesse Itzler just came out with the challenge, check it out. Kind of talk about how like it kind of started out as like nothing and just kind of something to talk about for 5 minutes, and how it turned into...
Yes, so the reason the challenge caught my eye is because we're planning on doing that 24-hour walk on the 26th. So I was like, oh, this would actually be a better version of that. It's a challenge outside, it's physical, be a chance to network with this amazing entrepreneur. You're getting to stay at his house. It seemed like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I think that's where I made the connection where, like, oh, this could work, actually. And we were in the gym, and I'm just thinking of all the things I've heard about Jesse Itzler. He talks about like getting your foot in the door and figuring it out later. You know, he's a guy who once in the early stages of Zico Coconut Water, he made a Tetra Pak costume and ran the entire New York City Marathon in a Zico Coconut Water package. So he's a guy who seems very creative, and he likes like the hustle and the grind, kind of like a Gary Vee, kind of like something like that. So I was in the gym and I was like, it would be a good idea to send him some sort of a video or make some sort of contact with him. And then, I mean, that spiraled into 2 days of work where we're going to Brooklyn Nets games, where we're doing all these things to kind of get this guy's attention.
Yeah, so let's kind of like dive into like the detail of what we started. I think our first piece of content was inspired by a little bit of Goggins. We had a few minor details that we knew about Itzler, such as like his obsession with bananas. He eats fruit only in the morning up until noon, I believe.
Yeah.
So he has a huge fascination around bananas. So we kind of took a lot of little minor details that you pick up over the course of a few years of following him, and we try to incorporate it into some content, little 15 to 30 second clips. So maybe kind of describe the first video with the Goggins and bananas.
Yeah, so Jesse Itzler wrote a book called Living with the Seal, and at the time he didn't release the name of who the Navy SEAL was. This was in 2008, I believe, and over time it's come out that David Goggins was a Navy SEAL that lived with Jesse Itzler for 30 days. Goggins' role was Jesse Itzler wanted to get tougher. He wanted to break his routine, so he hired Goggins almost as a coach, and the only rule was that he had to listen to everything that Goggins said. So a lot of the times it would be 3 o'clock in the morning, Goggins would be in Jesse Itzler's bedroom, come in, wake him up and say, hey, we're going for a run. They did a challenge, the 4-4-48, which we're planning on doing sometime in the near future, where you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. So essentially in 2 days, you're running 2 marathons total. So the first video we came up with was we decided to attack the Goggins angle. We started off with a funny quote. We went outside, we ran up and down hills training, just kind of like pieced together little tidbits here and there and made a little 15 second video to get his attention right off the bat.
Yeah, I think that's really where it spiraled into, was essentially getting his attention. I think initially we knew that based on the rules of the competition, he was going to kind of pick out of a hat, quote unquote, and it was just going to be completely random. But I think we had a thought in our head that if we really shock this guy with some like creative stuff and, you know, get him to laugh, get him to respond to us, put us on his radar almost, we felt like we could almost slide in and find a loophole in the competition.
Yeah, I think part of the thinking was that also, the contest is to win a stay at his house. He's got to have more room in his house than just the 3 slots he was opening. And like I said before, he seemed like one of those guys that if you impressed him, he would make a move. He seems like he posts things about the sauna. So we made another video about the sauna. And one of the things that he really likes about the sauna is he goes into the sauna, and if you're in there before him, he makes sure that he stays in the longest out of the people that were in there before him. So he's never going to get out before... Explain this better, because I'm...
No, yeah, tangled. So... Yeah, it, like you said, you're explaining it perfect. If there's someone in before he gets in, it's a rule in his head that he can't leave before that person. Obviously, that person... It would mean that he spent less time than the person in the sauna, yeah, which is like a big thing for him. And it's a game that he plays inside his own head. No one really knows about it. It's not like the people in the sauna are getting a vibe like this guy's competing with the people. It's just kind of something he likes to do in his own head. So that kind of inspired our idea. We go to the gym in the morning, and it just happens that our gym has a sauna. You know, so we decided to go in with the Living with Monks book that he wrote, his most recent book.
Yeah.
Again, we're just trying to hit him with all angles.
Yeah, and also, like, back to making the videos in the first place, he's a guy who likes to come up with games on his own. So even though that there was this official contest where he's just going to pick randomly out of a hat, it seemed like there, mentally, in our minds, maybe that, you know, maybe we're completely wrong, but it seemed like there was an opening where you could kind of, like, skew the competition into your favor. And I think that was our plan all along, to try to get the odds in our favor. And this is a guy who likes to compete. He'll challenge people online to burpee tests. He'll challenge people online to anything. He had the one post about the sauna where he's talking about how he met his match, and there was this one man who he couldn't outlast, and he says he pushed it 40% past his limits. This guy was still in there, and he put in the post, if anybody knows who this guy is, tag him, because I'd like to take him out to dinner.
Yeah.
So he seems like a playful guy where if he got on his good side, something good would happen from it.
Yeah, definitely. And to kind of continue down the trend of like making content for him, I don't know if it was necessarily our first post that got a reaction, but within the first 2 or 3 posts, we got comments from him, whether it's just a ha 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 or, you know, this is genius. And I think in the beginning, having those like little like ha-has or whatever it is kind of kept us going throughout the 2 days.
Yeah, for sure. You felt like you were making progress. And, you know, we don't know if there was some random person on the other side saying, like, does he have an account manager? Is it him? But in the moment, it felt like we were making progress. And, I mean, I got to, as you know, but I got to a point where I was, like, fully convinced that he was going to give us the spots.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of brought the question in the beginning was how you kind of casually brought it to my attention. It wasn't a lot of energy behind it. Like, you're excited, but you were still getting a gauge on how I would feel. And then by the end of the time, up until he was announcing, I mean, we were so into it. It was unbelievable. Like, the progression there of how into it we got over the course of the 48 hours was kind of interesting.
I mean, we full on spent 2 days, like, texting back and forth saying, like, yo, I got this idea. Let's make this video. And trying to, like, piece together a strategy to get this guy's attention and not only get his attention but somehow get him to basically screw his competition and like just give us the spots.
Yeah. And it's interesting going into it, we were just creating content because it was fun to do. We were making, like I said, 15 to 30 second clips or making stories, whatever the case may be, and it was enjoyable. But then on the back end of it, like looking back over what we did, it was kind of interesting because there were some things you can learn from it. And we noticed that sending him direct videos doesn't necessarily work, but tagging him in stories does. Yeah. I don't know if there's something going on with Instagram where it pushes out tags and stories better than it does direct video. Going forward with this podcast, obviously, we're trying to be inspired by the people we follow and level up. And that's going to require us reaching out via Instagram and other social media platforms. So it was kind of like a little side experiment within the content we were making.
Yeah, I'm also fascinated by the concept of asymmetric risk. And it was very little. It was a little bit of work in the upfront to lead to a. You don't know what the value was going forward. So we spent maybe an hour total making these videos, putting them together, sending it to them. You don't know if you win that prize and what kind of relationship you develop with him or his wife or anyone at that that competition. So the amount of cost in the short term, you have no idea how much value could have been produced in the long term. And maybe still could. Maybe there's another competition down the road where now we're in a better position to win that competition. We want to do that 4-4-48 challenge. Maybe we send it to him. He enjoys it. Maybe he comes on the podcast. You never know, kind of taking those shots, putting in the work, doing your best. You never know what it leads to in the future.
And a great point to bring up to go along with that is coming from directly from Jesse Itzler. And he talks about you're kind of fit. And I'm not going to say this exactly, but he talks about essentially you're figuring out your life in your 20s. You're growing and building like a foundation in your 30s. And then you're kind of blowing up in your 40s, and that seems to be a typical trend in his mind. And I look at it as we're planting seeds, like I said, over the course of the 48 hours we were doing it. We're just continuing to plant seeds. And I look at it as instead of 20, 30s, and 40s as decades, maybe it's in months or years, where over the next 6 months or 18 months, planting these seeds in the front side of it can lead to a big result, like, you know, 6 months from now when he comes out with a new challenge. I think we just did a good job of putting ourselves on the map in his eyes. So next time he does a challenge, he's going to recognize the name and remember, like, oh, these guys made me laugh last time. So I hope that comparison kind of came through, but
yeah, it also, in a way, speaks to, like, the venture capital model. Like, we're going to have to take 10 shots here for one to pay off, and it might be 20 shots, it might be 25 shots, but now we put together one good shot, it didn't pay off, but that's expected if only 10% of your shots are going to pay off. And it also sets us up better for shot number two. It sets us up better for shot number three. We learned a little bit about videos. We got a little better at making videos. We kind of crafted a message that, you know, those first few ones he didn't even watch. I'm not even sure he watched that Goggins video.
Yeah.
You know, we have no proof
of
that.
Probably our better one.
But as we kept going on here, we got him to watch every single post by the end. You know, the last 3, 4, 5, he watched 5 in a row. He responded to 5 in a row. When we were at the Nets game, we kind of had a little back and forth with him in the Instagram DM. So our message got better throughout this one, and it's going to get better over time through the next person we talk to or, you know, try to reach out to.
Yeah. And I feel like we kind of just briefly rolled over the Nets game. The reason we went to the Barclays Center is the Hawks were in town, and we were talking about how the timing on that was just unreal. And just to say it again, I know you said in the beginning, he's the owner of the Hawks. So to have the Hawks come in, which we figured it's maybe 4 times a year, because you got the Knicks and the Nets maybe 2 times a season in the regular season. So there's not a lot of opportunities that this is going to happen. And the day or two after the post was announced, like, or the event was announced, the fact that the Hawks were in town that we can go was super interesting timing for us. And I think we did a good job of just attacking it and taking action from the jump.
Yeah, not only that, again, like, back to taking shots. Like, you don't know if he's at the game watching. And now we've had, you know, a DM conversation for a whole day. Maybe it's like, hey, Jesse, can we come down and meet you? Can we do this? And, like, you never know what it leads to. For us, the tickets were $20. It was a relatively easy train ride to get there. And it showed, again, that we were checking off all the boxes. We were putting in the work. Like, we did everything we possibly could to win this particular challenge. And I think even though it didn't work out, that gives you a lot of comfort knowing that, like, hey, we did what we could. It just didn't work out. Didn't fall in our way. But going forward, if we keep that principle, keep that philosophy of doing everything you possibly can, it's going to pay off.
Yeah. Yeah. So to summarize what we did probably maybe 4 or 5 video clips, yeah, maybe the same amount of stories, you know, whether it's little mini stories or pictures, whatever the case may be. And that kind of leads us up to Thursday night, 8 p.m., when he decided to announce it on Instagram Live. And I know initially going into it, we were hoping that he was going to be like, all right, screw the random drawer. We're going to, or do the draw. And then he was going to be like, we're going to add 2 because of this. Yeah. Didn't play out that way. But one thing that made me really happy was in the beginning of it, he's like, listen, I'm going to play it straight. I'm going to play it fair here. And I'm going to stick with the rules that I stated in my original post that I'm going to do a random drawing. But I love the fact that there was people sending me creative videos and DMs and really trying to put themselves out there to win this spot. And there was no doubt in my mind that he was talking about us in our videos.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was even following the hashtags throughout the competition. There was no one posting on the hashtags. He probably had 4 or 5 hashtags related to the contest. No one was making anything. So it had to be us.
Yeah, so I think it was a good move, even though it had nothing to do with the rules of the contest. I think next time if he does a similar contest and changes up the rules, I mean, we're yards ahead, like, by doing it that way.
Yeah, and he needs to change up the rules because that was the worst run contest I've ever seen.
Yeah, so we weren't necessarily pleased with the contest. We were one of the first commenters on the post, and the way he kind of picked it out of a hat was scrolling essentially all the way to the bottom of the comments. So it almost seemed like if you were late to the party, you got an advantage. But again, it's one of those where...
Yeah, the contest is irrelevant. I mean,
I think if you're just looking at the result of it, it's a little short-sighted. Yeah. So I was trying to do my best to make sure I was staying out of that mindset. It wasn't necessarily the way we would want a contest to go. But at the end of the day, we were making content because we want to get on his radar. Of course, we want to win the challenge, but we're getting better and better at looking long-term as opposed to this timeline that's then over the next 3 days or, you know, which we've done in the past.
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, even just the simple thing as a video, it's, I think we learned that making videos was a lot easier than, for me, it was a lot easier than I expected. Editing them together, like, that sauna video is not going to win any awards. You watch it, it's not a great video, but it's not bad for your third video ever. And something that you whip together in 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And, I mean, he even said, you know, these are creative videos. Like, there's different angles. You're doing things. You're adding the book in the sauna, which a book in the sauna already is comedy in itself.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it's his latest book, so that's always a smart move. We added the hashtag, which I think got his attention. And you're just adding very minor details about his life that maybe only 10, 20, 30% of his followers may know that specific.
Yeah.
That specific one, you know?
Yeah, and that also speaks to, like, the timeline of work. So the immediate work around this project was maybe an hour total, but we've been putting in a lot of work over the last 3 or 4 years around Jesse Itzler. Like, we've really dove into his content. We know it forward and backwards. There was things, you know, that sauna post that he put up and kind of our parody on his sauna post, that's from a year ago.
And it's not like it's out in the spotlight. Like this no. was like some viral video. It's like some random post that maybe has 1,000, 2,000 likes on it with some, you know, guy in Vegas.
Yeah, but diving into this guy, like these are the things that stuck out. We did a good job of like recalling them, kind of implanting them in our mind. So even that speaks to we are learning from these people. Like we really, if I gave you a guy like TB or a Tim Ferriss or a Gary V, we could pretty much go off right now for 15 minutes and just like parody their entire pitch.
Right.
So we do know all the info and now taking the action, and it's probably going to pay off long term.
Yeah. And I think we're kind of living up to our intro on the podcast, which is being inspired and leveling up to these people. We're not faking it over the past 3-4 years. Like, we've been putting in the work, learning from these people, and actually gaining genuine inspiration. We're not just like, oh, this guy's cool the last, you know, few weeks. Let's try to hit him up. Like, Jesse Itzler, we've known about him for many years.
Nah, this is a guy I full-blown, like, I look up to Jesse Itzler completely. I like everything he's about. I like that he ran the 100-mile race. He's not, like, an athletic guy. He's obviously pretty athletic, but you would never be like, this guy ran 100 miles.
Right.
I like that he does things differently. I like that, you know, when he used to work in the city, he'd pay the guy with the, you know, wagon on the back of the bike, and he would ride the bike, and the guy who's supposed to be driving would sit in the back. I like that he kind of marches to his own beat. So it's always a guy that I've, you know, I listen to. I like the way he talks about time. I like the way he's a super interesting guy. He's a super successful guy. And he's someone that over the last 2, 3, 4 years has given me a lot of value.
Yeah, he seems very easy to connect with, at least in my opinion. Even just in his videos, even on Instagram Live, just seems like a normal dude. Like he doesn't seem like he acts like he has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little kind of the vibe I get from him. I wouldn't say I've necessarily consumed a ton of video content. I've seen some interviews from him, and I would say you probably dove into his content a little more than me, but just off what I've known over the past few years, he seems like a very genuine guy, which was easy for me to connect with.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's a good reason why main reason you like him as well. To backtrack, back to the live Instagram, he basically told everybody that was watching that he was super upset after he posted this because he didn't realize how much attention it was going to get and how much people really wanted to be involved. So what he decided to do is make like a soft announcement that he was going to, in what, 2 weeks or so, that he was going to do a main big event for anybody that's following him. So there was no challenge, there was no contest in this case. If you followed him, you were open to coming. And even though that's not what we necessarily wanted, we wanted to win that specific challenge because we felt it had a little more value, a little more personal touch to it by being in his house, and that it was still a nice gesture from him to realize there's a lot of attraction from his audience on this specific challenge. So to open it up to everybody that's following him, I thought was at least a nice thing to do.
Yeah, he's going to run the event at kind of below cost, keep it as low price as possible so anyone would be able to participate. Just looking into these events that he's running now, they seem to be, I would imagine they're pretty expensive if they're selling out in one minute,
right,
doing all this stuff. So that's another nice gesture to run it at below cost. I'm sure it'll be somewhat affordable. I mean,
Yeah, so I look at this as another opportunity to go. Maybe it's not as personal because the volume is going to probably be a lot higher. So the chances of maybe meeting him directly is maybe lower. Obviously, you're not at his house. It's going to be at a public location. So there's a lot of different things that are not quite as good for this challenge, but I think it's still an opportunity to get in an environment of people that like the same things as us.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think we've done a lot of that throughout our life.
No, 100%. And, you know, one of Jesse Itzler's main points is to build your life resume, and I think that's where he's getting into these experiences, kind of taking over his business side now. He has another one somewhere in the Midwest. It's called 29029, which is the height of Everest. So he found this mountain in Colorado. I don't know where the mountain is, but you go up this mountain, I think, 13 times, and then you take a gondola down, and it ends up being the total height of Everest. So you're hiking the height of Everest, but you're just in Colorado, you know? So it's a pretty cool idea, too. And again, he has tents set up at the bottom. There's a bunch of people. And you get, like, business people there. You get a guy like Lewis Howes there. You know, you get some pretty big names taking part in these events. So, like you're saying, this one that's open to everybody might, even though it's not going to have that personal touch of being with him, there is going to be an opportunity to meet like-minded, you know, successful people. People who are trying to take control.
Yeah, the way I look at it is Itzler is like that grand prize. You're going there for him to potentially meet him, but I think you're going to realize once you get there, you're going to find all the value in Tom, the videographer, that you're he gave you a tip or something that's like, oh wow, this was like super beneficial. And or, you know, we're working on our podcast and you meet Sarah, who's like super into sound quality, and she gives you a little tip that, oh, that you don't really have to buy much equipment, you just got to do this with your cell phone.
Yeah,
it's like, I think you go there to potentially meet Jesse, and that's like the selling point, but then you get all the value from meeting just people that are maybe slightly more successful than you are or a little further down their path, and you kind of learn from them.
Yeah, a bunch of go-getters all, you know, together. I have a feeling we're going to have Jesse Itzler on this podcast at some point. Like that 4-4-48 challenge, if we could do a good job with that. Like I said, I still have that belief that he's one of those people who you kind of, if you pique his interest, he'll take advantage of it, and he'll kind of see what you're all about. So I think we got a good start here. I think we did a, you know, good foot in the door, but we'll come up with more ideas and see kind of how we can, you know, reel him in.
Yeah, and I take a lot of inspiration from, I follow a guy named Matt D'Avella. He's like a minimalist content creator on YouTube, and he's been blowing up over the past 6 to 9 months. But I was following him, you know, since maybe 15,000-20,000 subscribers, and from that point he was talking about getting The Rock on his podcast.
Yeah,
so he has a podcast called like The Ground Up Show, and a big part of it is getting The Rock. He has like a funny picture in his kitchen of The Rock when he's in that black turtleneck and the fanny pack. He has that like hung up in his kitchen. He's been a huge fan of him for however long, and this has been going on for at least a year. So The Rock's, I mean, obviously he's one of the biggest names in the business, so obviously that's a huge name to try to bring on your podcast. But he's not getting discouraged after not getting him on within 2 months. And he's gotten a tweet from The Rock directly, so I kind of correlate that to we got a ha-ha or a genius in our DMs. It's like, just because they respond doesn't mean you've necessarily done enough.
Yeah.
So, like I said, again, it just goes back to just planting seeds and taking action. If we want him on the podcast and we continue to work at it, it'll eventually happen.
Yeah.
You just got to extend out that timeline.
Yeah. And you realize kind of how you can provide value to him. Maybe his next book comes out, that's a good time, you know, things like that. You got to understand that these are very busy people with a lot of their own projects, doing their own things. So it's not just about, you know, you got to sell yourself, but you also got to give them value for the time that they're committing to you.
Yeah, which I think the second point is like the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
We now we have a gent, like, a, we want him on the podcast. So now we're going to look for things to be able to provide value where those opportunities may kind of just pass by our eyes because we're not really looking for it. Yeah. It's kind of that law of attraction stuff.
Yeah, we kind of primed our brain now to know what we're looking for, what we have to do. And also, you know, there's many people we want to hopefully get on this podcast. There's many kind of, again, it's great practice going forward to get this one guy, get, you know, or maybe get another guy, and that leads to your better understanding of how to get Jesse Itzler. So.
I don't necessarily think a strong suit for mine was getting long-term goals that are, like, outside a year, like, in that 2 to 3 year or even 5 year range. And I think goals like this, getting a big name on a podcast, it's not necessarily a month goal. Yeah, you may get lucky with a challenge and then all of a sudden it spirals into something, but I would say that's the exception, not the norm. I think the norm is grinding out content, figuring out where to be, where you can be valuable for this person whenever possible, and doing that over and over again until it's like he almost feels like obligated to help you out. It's, I think Gary B talks about that a ton. Yeah. It's all about that leverage, quote unquote, and you're not doing it out of a evil way. You're just giving so much value because you want to provide value that they almost feel obligated to help you out.
Yeah. And, you know, we're gonna get our message crafted better. We're going to do those things. And I think that's like a, I think that's a skill you learn, how to sell your message, and you get better over time so you can sell your message quicker. You can figure out what does he want and how can I provide that? What do they need? What are they doing right now? What are their goals? What's going on in their life that they're working towards, and how can we assist that and kind of get those two paths to merge so that we're both winning?
And long term, this is obviously just like a, you know, a general idea of what I see potentially could happen 10 years from now or whatever, is having that boot camp or that university type style where you have a 3 month class all the way down to like a weekend or daily classes where maybe you're marketing to kids fresh out of high school where they don't want to go to college right away, and you can send them, parents can send them to this quote unquote boot camp. They can get over insecurity, set them up for college if they do decide to go. And the reason I bring that up is maybe Jesse's like, man, I've always wanted to do that, or that's always something that's been super interesting to me. I just haven't been able to allocate enough time.
Yeah.
I'd like you guys to run point on this, and you maybe I assist you in a certain way.
Yeah.
Whether it's financially, whether it's just wisdom or just reach in general.
Yeah.
So maybe it works out that way. I don't think that's going to be first interaction is us setting up a deal like that, but that could spiral down to that point.
Yeah, and I also think to like keep going with that point, I think it's part of this whole process, especially this year, is finding what our message is and what we're trying to actually do. And I think even the simple thing of making these videos helps push us in the direction of kind of what we're trying to do. And we're going to figure that out along the way throughout the year. But this was kind of a challenge, not so much in terms of insecurity, not so much in terms of like feeling uncomfortable, more of a challenge of like, hey, if we do want to have that business in the future, we got to be pretty good at networking with high net worth individuals. We got to be pretty good at selling our point. We got to be pretty good at gaining attention from these people. So this was sort of a different kind of challenge, but I think it taught us a lot about where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the foundational piece is continuing to get out content and doing it on a consistent basis. I think that earns a lot of credibility when they do and go check out your page.
Mm-hmm.
Gary V's big on like calling people out and smoking out the fakers.
Yeah.
And he likes to go and stalk people's accounts and see what they're doing. If we got an interaction with Gary V and he's like super pumped about the idea because he's into insecurities and getting over them, I think the idea and the whole idea behind our podcast would I think he would like it. But if he came to our page and we do a podcast every other month or something and we are sporadic with it, he may not interact with us. But if he sees we've been putting in the work over the course of a year, we did 52 weeks in a row, I think it's going to be a lot more likely that they're going to be interacting with us. So
yeah.
The main point of that was like continuing to be consistent with what we can control. And then outside of that, expanding with our creative minds and reaching out more on social media and that kind of thing.
Yeah, 2 points there. You think about how much better that product looks after 52 weeks. So not only the consistency, but the value of the product itself. The podcast is way better. You've learned a lot throughout the year. It's not, obviously, these first 2, 3, 10, 15 aren't going to be the best thing ever. But as the value of that product goes up, it gives you credibility. And then also, even back to Jesse Itzler, he's going through the post and there was 2 simple rules. You had to tag 2 friends and all 3 of you had to follow him. And he's going through the thing and 2 people aren't following him. It's like, what are you doing? So back to, you know, do the little things, be consistent, kind of do what you have to do. Here's 2 high net worth individuals who are like, what are you guys doing not doing the basics? And I think doing the basics in terms of a podcast is putting out content.
Yeah, it's definitely attention to detail. I mean, you're going to do a challenge and then not follow them. It's just, you're not deserving of it.
Yeah.
You're not taking care of the things that are in your control. We're not in control of him stopping his finger on our name and winning the contest.
Yeah.
But we were in control of sending him the content and putting in the work that way. And I think we're in control of getting out a podcast every week. There's no excuse there.
Yeah.
So that's where I want to continue to focus on and put all our brain power towards, not growing our podcast necessarily, not getting the numbers to 100,000 by the end of the year. I don't think that's necessarily the best way to plan your year out. I think we know we want to do 52 podcasts, which means we did 52 challenges. That's completely within our control.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot better of idea of spending your energy there.
Yeah. The goal is to create quality throughout this entire year. It's to increase the quality of the podcast. It's to become more quality as a human being, grow as a human being. You know, this 52-week period is more the groundwork, kind of digging the trenches so that the next 52-week period, the 52-week period after that, can be where you start to bring in the value and hopefully generate something that can
be. Yeah, no. I think one of the biggest joys I'll get later in life is like being a quote-unquote mentor to someone or a community. But in order for me to earn credibility and become a mentor, like I got to put in the work.
Yeah.
So for me, this podcast allows me to put in that work. And I don't have to necessarily worry about making a living from it within the first year or monetizing it or getting 100,000 followers in a certain period of time. That's not where the mindset is. I want to put in the work and build the foundation so that I can actually pass on wisdom that's valuable instead of just passing on theory that you've heard from other people.
Yeah, we're trying to get out of theory and see what actually worked and how we could transfer that message to other individuals. Jesse Itzler talks about how it takes 8 years to build a brand. Don't cut corners. And, you know, a guy like Casey Neistat talks about how however long you think it's going to take, it takes double. And he talks about that with everything. But he talks about that from going to the airport to making a video to building his company Beam. It's always double of what he expected. So I think to be short-sighted, specifically in this challenge, oh, this first challenge didn't work out, what are we doing with our lives? It's like, no, that's not the case. Like, we're building something here, we're learning. It's kind of like in school, if you failed the first test or if they gave you the final on the first day, you wouldn't know how to complete that, but you passed the first quiz, you passed that second quiz, maybe you failed the third quiz, but eventually you have enough credibility to kind of complete that final at the end of the class.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's I think we're going to continue to get better at managing the timeline. I think we've mentioned this already in this podcast, and I'm sure maybe in the first 2 episodes, but our timeline originally, it's just too short in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
We're just not giving enough time. We were switching ideas too quick. we were just not giving it the time it deserved, whatever goal we were setting. And I think we're in a good rhythm right now in the gym. We're getting a good rhythm. I see us completing the 52 weeks, and I have more confidence in that than I've had in almost anything else. Yeah, like,
I agree with that.
It just seems very doable to sustain one challenge a week. We're always talking about, oh, well, what do you want to do this weekend? Instead of just going out and doing something random, it's like now we're just focused on something. We have a goal. So it just makes it seem a lot more doable. I think we can execute on it.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And even if we just did the 52 weeks of challenges, that was our main focus, and we completed that at the end of the year, by 2020, doing a challenge a week is going to be so easy. It's going to be so routine. Then you can branch out and do so many more things.
Yeah.
We talked about making things into a habit, because once it becomes a habit, it requires less brain power. So then you can stack more things on top of it. But if you try to add all these things all at once, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the 52 challenges, they're fun. Like, I had fun at that comedy class. The homeless dinner was exciting. And now this, making those videos, even though we were cramming them during workouts, cramming them after, staying up late after the Nets game, kind of putting them together, it was fun doing it. Like, there was no aspect of it. Obviously, it's work, but it's work that we want to be doing. So I don't necessarily feel like work is, like, the proper word for those sorts of things. Filming these podcasts, spending that Sunday at Boston Market, putting together a plan, trying to come up with how we were going to tell a story, trying to come up with what we were doing the upcoming weeks. All that stuff is giving me energy, not taking it away.
Yeah, and if there's ever been a point where there's kind of low energy at the start of the task, I've always noticed that the energy's through the roof towards the middle and the end of whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
So that, I feel like that's a good sign. Tom Bilyeu, I've mentioned him before. He always talks about, like what you just said, find something that gives you more energy than it takes. And this definitely does that. And this is the first time in my life where I'm getting more energy than it takes. And I actually see a potential future in doing this. This is obviously going to expand out into areas that we're not even thinking about right now. But there's a general direction that this could lead to that we could potentially make our life around.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that's ever happened, where in the past, things that have given me more energy than it takes almost felt just kind of like a hobby.
Yeah.
Whereas this is something that I feel could be a long-term play that we can monetize, that we can surround our life around. Not that I need money or anything like that. I'm not doing this for the money. And I know that's cliche. But it's, you know, I mean, it's just, it feels right.
Yeah. Feels authentic. I think authentic is a word that we've been throwing around a lot. Just to take it back to Jesse Itzler. Is there anything for this particular challenge that you would have changed, that you think that you would have done different, or any thoughts that came up at, man, I should have done that? You have any thoughts on that?
I think you have more thoughts than I do on that. I felt pretty good about everything we did.
Yeah.
Again, the rules didn't set up to have content be the reason you win.
Yeah.
But we did that, like we said in the beginning, to get on the map. Like, we did that because we enjoyed it. We wanted to get a reaction out of them. We wanted to have a chance to at least interact with them. And just liking a post and commenting your names, you're not going to get any interaction from that. And we at least put ourselves out there, hoping you'd appreciate it and maybe bend the rules a little bit. And I think we did a good job of getting his attention. And to say it again, in the beginning of his announcement, he mentioned us.
Yeah.
He didn't mention our names directly or anything like that, but he was definitely talking about us. So for me, that's a success in itself. So would I necessarily change anything? There's nothing jumping out of me. It's not a lot of, like, regret, like, oh, that video was too much, or we bombarded them too much, we should have done more. There wasn't, I think we found a good balance there, and I think we took action when needed. So overall, it's pretty successful for me, even though the result didn't work out the way
I wanted it. I've gone back and forth on that, but I agree with you, because we essentially made up our own contest, so we kind of needed his approval to make that a viable option to win.
Yeah, to have resistance towards him not, like, appreciating, quote-unquote, the content, that's more us than it is him.
Yeah.
The fact that he responded, and I know you mentioned he responds a decent amount to his followers, so it's not necessarily, like, out of his element, but he still took time to watch the post and laugh at it or make a comment. He doesn't have to do any of that.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's easy to kind of think he should do something when he doesn't have to at all.
No, there's no aspect of thinking that he should have done something. Not at all. It's more of the aspect of, like, was there anything else we could have done? And I think we both agree that there probably wasn't. Like, I think we checked all the boxes that we could check, and then the only thing that could have happened is Jesse Itzler could have ran a better contest.
Again, we were playing a contest that didn't exist.
Yeah.
So I haven't spent any mental energy in any negative spot around this whole 48 hours.
Yeah. So good learning experience going forward. And
I guess a final point for me is I feel like growth spurt, what we're going through is similar to the gym, similar to a lot of things in life. You don't really necessarily feel the growth spurts in the moment. You don't feel like we've gotten better because of this 48 hours. Like, right now, I don't necessarily feel I'm that much better than I was Monday. But then when you look over the past 6 months, or when we first moved into Queens back in June, there's a big difference there from 6 months ago. At least I feel that. So it's one of those, not getting caught up too much in the day-to-day and realizing that all these things are building towards a better future.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to that work point where you didn't know for 3 years that you were putting work into learning about Jesse Itzler that would be useful in this moment. And you don't know 2 months from now what that situation is going to be. That's like, hey, we've been spending the last 6 months, we've been spending the last 3 months on learning this skill, and now it is perfectly applied to this situation. So the scale and the timeline of doing work and when the work actually pays off, it's, I know for me and you, we kind of look at like, oh, I went to the gym today, do I have a bicep yet? And it's like,
right,
that's not how it works. It's more of like a year from now, you can look back and be like, wow, look at that growth period.
It's, this is, you know, slightly off topic. Like, I think the gym is going to really bring that foundation for us because of that exact principle. The timeline forces you to play long term.
Yeah.
There's no short term gain in the gym. So getting that foundation, that builds the mindset of extending out our timelines. And I think that's going to translate really well to the challenges, to the podcast, to getting people on the podcast, everything surrounded about what we're doing, putting in the work over a long enough period to get the result is going to be a major takeaway at the end of the year or end of 5 years, that kind of thing.
100%.
So, Spurt, any final words?
No, I think Jesse, we'll see you on the podcast. And when we do that 4-4-48 challenge, we're going to reach out to you and you're going to come join us for a discussion. So thanks for all the back and forth with the content. Thanks for running a great contest, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
All right. See ya.